You are listening to the new voice of Conservative Talk Radio. Unafraid and aggressive, he will take on anyone, including Republicans. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready and visit him on the web at aaronmccready.com.
Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. It's great to have you on board with us. Got a great show for you today, but I'll tell you what, this weather in Atlanta, 78 degrees, almost 80 degrees today. It was fantastic after the winter we've had, and I know if you're listening around the country, you saw the big debacle this past winter when traffic was snarled up due to ice, not snow, ice for everybody up north. That was ice. And I'll tell you what, it is just a great day, except for the Atlanta Braves lost today. They lost 0-2. They were playing the Brewers, and Braves come back home for their season opener on April 8th, so I am looking forward to that. And I'll tell you, today too is a big day. If you don't have health insurance, today is the day that you need to roll in Obamacare. The regime has brought it upon us. And if you're not enrolled by midnight tonight, or I guess really at 11:59 p.m. Your local time, guess you will be hit with a $95 fine. And but the good news is, though, if you have started the application process, they've given you an extension because of all the errors and all the problems that they've had. They have given you until, I believe, April 30th to enroll. So I'm glad that at least they've extended it again. They keep extending it. And you know, this Obamacare has been a big debacle, and I don't know even how we got to this point. Why should the government mandate that freedom-loving Americans purchase something from the government? Makes no sense. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about it, 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. We're also being heard around the world on blogtalkradio.com. And we've got an online chat going right now on there on blogtalkradio.com. But give us a call, 646-200-3400, or you can tweet me at Aaron McCready, and I'll answer those tweets. Just to let you know, too, before we continue on with Obamacare, joining me in a little bit is Karen Handel. Especially the residents in Georgia listening to me, they know about Karen Handel. She is their former Secretary of State, and now she is running for United States Senate for the Republican Party. And looks like if she wins the primary, she will be taking on Michelle Nunn. And she is a well-known name here, too. Michelle Nunn is the Democrat. But she'll be joining me in just a little bit to talk about her campaign. And also, she was endorsed this past week by none other than Sarah Palin, the one and only. So Karen Handel will be joining me in just a little bit. But I wanted to continue on with Obamacare. And today, like I said, is the deadline. And, you know, many of you think, oh, you know, if I don't enroll, I'll just have to pay a $95 fee. Well, if you are head of a household, and from what I am reading, I believe I am correct, but if you're head of a household and you have kids, you have a wife that depend on you, it's not just $95. It is $95 per person in your house. So let's say you have three kids and you have a wife, or let's say you're a woman and you're the breadwinner and you have a husband that's a dependent. Well, it's $95 for him and your three kids too. So, you know, it's just not $95. Also, in 2015, it will be going up the penalty to $325, and then in 2016, I believe $695 is the penalty if you don't have health insurance. And I would love for somebody to call in and tell me why in the world the government should mandate something that you know, what happened to the good old days when, you know, the government lets you, you know, have actual freedom. Why? It would be like equivalent of, okay, you walk into Target, you walk into Walmart, and you walk in there, and all of a sudden, they are forcing you to buy something before you leave. That's exactly what it's like. Or you're driving by a gas station, and in order for the gas station to let you buy, you've got to buy a full tank of gas. What's the difference? I really do not see a difference at all. And the impact that this is going to have is $52 billion, billion with a B, $52 billion in new taxes. A report came out on February 10th, 2011. Now, I know that's a couple years ago, but in 2011, that this would create 800,000 fewer jobs. 800,000 jobs would be lost because of this $52 billion in new taxes because of Obamacare. And, you know, these people that are going to lose their jobs because of all these new taxes where, you know, these businesses have to pay all these taxes, where's that money going to come from? A couple things. They're going to have to raise the price of their goods and services, or it's going to have to come from people's salaries. You won't be able to get a pay increase. They won't be able to hire more people. Well, that's where it's going to come from. There's already been several businesses that you've heard on the news, that small businesses that just decided, you know, I'm just shutting down. I'm going to close the doors. Can't afford it. Then you have, you know, Hobby Lobby. I know you've heard about Hobby Lobby. They are right now, it's went all the way up to the Supreme Court on the contraception mandate. They don't believe that they should have to pay for contraception. And I do not understand why a government would mandate a company to have to pay for something. You know, we already pay our taxes. That should be enough. The less the government intrudes on each person's life, the more successful each and every single American will be. And it's gotten to the point that too many people rely and depend on government. It's gotten to the point that people have become parasites on the government and keep feeding off of the government. And what does a parasite do to its host? I've said this before. A parasite kills its host in the end because it drains it of all the nutrients, all the energy, all the blood. And that's what's happening to the United States right now. We have so many people that are dependent on government, and we have so many politicians that want to get reelected so bad that they'll give people anything just to get votes. They'll give you free health care. They'll give you those Obama phones. But what does it cost? You know, it's like, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Most people don't want Obamacare, but the people that wanted Obamacare were a lot louder than the people that didn't want it. And so who got the grease? You know, the same thing. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. I just do not understand. If you do need Obamacare, they do have some exemptions that you can sign up for later on if you don't have Obamacare now. There are open enrollment dates. And for the open enrollment dates, I believe it is, I've got it right here, but I believe it's April 15th is the next one, maybe. I'll have to look for it a little bit later on. But, you know, there's several ways that you can go ahead and even past today get care. That's, you know, if you get married, if you have a child, And, you know, I'm just so disappointed with our government. You know, then we have politicians also saying we need to defund it or we need to repeal it. Now, I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. But I also have a level head on top of my neck. And if we defunded Obamacare, the people, even if it's just a million people, let's say just a million people wanted Obamacare because they didn't have insurance and they couldn't get insurance, but they got insurance because of Obamacare. Let's say it's just a million people out of the millions and millions and millions and millions of people in our country. That's still a million people if we defund Obamacare that's not going to have insurance that actually legitimately needed insurance. If you defund it, that and the Congress defunds Obamacare, that does cut into it, but at what cost? The people that need insurance really have lost their insurance. And then, you know, they had a 6 million person goal, I believe, but the administration can't tell us where that number's coming from. They said 5 million people signed up as of yesterday, and they've got a flood of calls today. Actually, even the site went down again this morning, and now it's back up. But does that number include the 5 million people that lost their insurance, that their insurance companies canceled their insurance because of Obamacare, and maybe they needed to get the insurance? I don't know. Nobody seems to know where these numbers are coming from. It's like the administration's cooking the books. I just don't get it. I'm half tempted to call on the air right now, 1-800-318-2516. That's the Obamacare line. Maybe we should call it just to see how things are going. But, you know, the bad thing about that, if we call, it's like on Sean Hannity's show that he called that line, and the poor lady was very helpful, but she got fired for answering questions on the radio. So, you know, I don't know if I really want to do that to somebody, have them possibly lose their job. You know, this show is heard around the world and is very popular in the state of Georgia. That's where we broadcast from, Georgia, but it's not worth that. It's not worth costing somebody their job. But then people want to repeal it, and then they want to replace it, that's what I'm for, repeal and replace. But we need to have a comprehensive plan if we are going to repeal this thing so we can have something to replace it with. You know, people also under 30 and those with hardship exemptions can buy a lower catastrophic health plan. But you've got to prove that you have a hardship exemption. They usually have lower monthly premiums than a comprehensive plan, but they cover you if you need a lot of care. For example, God forbid you go out into the street and you run a red light and you get T-boned by a car, then you're in the hospital. And then I just pulled it up here on healthcare.gov. Here's the 8 exemptions from the penalty. So, for example, if you enroll after today, you will not get a penalty if you're uninsured for less than 3 months of the year. The lowest price coverage available to you would cost more than 8% of your household income. If you don't have to file a tax return because your income is too low. You're a member of a federally recognized tribe or eligible for services through an Indian health services provider. You're a member of a recognized health care sharing ministry. You're a member of a recognized religious sect with religious objections to insurance, including Social Security and Medicare. You know, that's the administration right there talking out both sides of their mouth. We've got this thing with Hobby Lobby in the Supreme Court, and this is from healthcare.gov. You're a member of a recognized religious sect with religious objections to insurance. So you don't have to pay the $95 fine or going up to, what did I say, $695. But yeah, they're still making businesses provide making them provide birth control. And I'm not against birth control by any means, but it shouldn't be the government's role to force businesses to pay for birth control, in particularly if they object to it. 646-200-3400 is the number to the show. You could go over to our chat room also on blogtalkradio.com. You can ask me some questions there. We got Adam in the chat room monitoring that and having that online chat. Also, if you're incarcerated, if you're in jail, you're in the pokey, you're in the slammer, you're in the pen. If you're incarcerated and are and not awaiting the disposition of charges against you. Oh, and get this. You, only the administration would say this. You do not have to pay the $95 penalty if you are not lawfully present in the United States. In other words, if you're an illegal alien, or I prefer illegal alien / criminal. If you're not here legally, you're here illegally, right? It's kind of like, you know, if you're not for us, you're against us. Presidents love to say that. I like George W. Bush, and he had his issues, but that's what he said. Obama's even said it before, too. Other countries have even picked up on it. Even Russia said that about Ukraine and Crimea. If you're not with us, you're against us. Well, that's kind of like that. You know, if you're not here legally, you're here illegally, right? That's what I think. That's exactly what I think. I cannot believe that this is the first time I've seen this. You're not lawfully present in the United States. You don't have to pay for the $95 fee. You also obviously don't have to pay for your health care. You don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to pay for housing. You don't have to pay for anything if you're not lawfully here. No wonder we have such a big invasion of people coming to our country. If you're not here lawfully, according to the White House, if you're not here lawfully, don't just come on. We'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. If you're not here legally, you're here illegally. Therefore, you're a criminal. If you're coming across the border from Mexico, heck, even Canada, you know, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And it's just we're being bled to death, being sucked dry. The leeches are sucking us dry. And what are leeches? Parasites that feed on the host. And they'll continue to feed on the host until the host is dead. And when the host is dead, they'll move on to something else. You know, and I can't blame you know, people from Mexico wanting to come to the United States for a better life. That's how we all ended up here. Our families, our ancestors, unless you're an American Indian, Native American, I guess that's what I should say. Unless you're that, which most of us aren't, your ancestors came here for a better life. Why, you know, we need to enforce the borders. You know, I know I'm going off on a tangent here. I started on Obamacare, now I'm talking about the borders, but it all relates to each other. And then you know what? People that wanted, going back to Obamacare, that wanted free medical care, they have a real shock to them. I've got a list here. And I actually tweeted it out today, and it's from heritage.org, the Heritage Foundation, and they have a chart. Now, it's on my Twitter, so you can go to my Twitter and look at it. If you are an adult age 27, and let's just use Georgia for an example, before Obamacare, your average cost a month was $98.12 if you wanted to get just a basic minimum plan, bare bone minimum plan, to have health coverage. That's before Obamacare. In the exchange, when you sign up for Obamacare, it's now going to cost you $263.28. That's a 168% change. Let's see. Tennessee is another state I used to live. Let's go to Tennessee. If you're age 27, $135 before the exchange, now $214. That's a 59% increase. Let's go to Virginia. I used to live in Virginia, too. Let's just hit these. Good old Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, $165. Listen to this, $165 before if you're age 27. A month. When you sign up for the exchange, an average of $581.55. That's a 252.5% increase. And that's just if you're 27. If you have a family of four, let's say. Go back to Virginia again. $704 a month in the exchange in Obamacare. They call the exchange in Obamacare. $1,964, 178% increase. Really, one of the only states that did better was Colorado. $275 before, if you're 27, $192.35 after. Family of four, $1,024 before, $962 after. We need to get rid of this. It's bleeding us dry. I'm not saying get rid of it and don't replace it. We need to replace it with something that makes sense. Something that makes sense. And it's going to take strong leadership to do this. Who is going to be the leader that can do this? Adam sent me a message. He's the producer and call screener of the show. He's actually in Virginia. So he says, what's my alternative to it? I've got a couple things. I believe that whoever writes this new plan needs to initiate some group coverage also. So let's say you're in a fraternity or you're in a organization. Take the people of that organization, make it a group, almost like it's your employer. Also make it, you know, we need to promote health savings accounts. But the problem with health savings accounts, and the problem with all this, is we need to educate the uneducated voter. Because, again, unless we educate them on the benefits, they're going to keep voting these folks in office that give them free products. Free Obama phones. Free health care. And these people that are bleeding us dry, we need to make sure that they go on to do drug tests if they are going to take government money. We're the boss, we're the boss here with the government. The candidates, the elected officials, they respond to us. They are our employee. We're their employer. And most jobs, you have to take a drug test anyways. Before you get our money, this corporation we own, called the United States government, you should have to have a drug test before we start giving you money. And then people say, oh, but Aaron, the children. If people fail a drug test, then what's going to happen to the children? Well, I'll tell you what. If somebody fails a drug test, they probably the children should probably be in a better home anyways. We're going to go to news, and then we'll be back with Senate candidate and former Georgia Secretary of State, Karen Handel.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. The clock's ticking. Midnight tonight, the Obamacare open enrollment deadline.
A record day for call centers and healthcare.gov, but the high volume has not been without a few slowdowns.
There are currently 100,000 people in the system who are enrolling, and there is no problem for them to enroll.
But White House Press Secretary Jay Carney says healthcare.gov was not accepting new applications. An issue Health and Human Services says is now fixed. A surge of last-minute enrollments was expected. Today is the last day to sign up for a health insurance plan and avoid a tax penalty, although consumers who try but are unable to finish enrollment will have a grace period.
Fox Radio's Jared Halpern. Republicans still hope to get Obamacare repealed and replaced. Washington's governor asking the president for additional disaster relief to help house survivors of the mudslide that now has claimed at least 24 lives. The disaster's littlest survivor, who had been critical, getting better.
Little Duke, that five-month-old boy rescued right after the mudslide, his condition has been upgraded, so it looks like the youngest survivor will make it. But this community is just starting the long road to recovery. Among the 620 people who have been involved in this search effort, 160 are volunteers, unpaid, just going out there because they need to be out there for their community.
Fox's Dan Springer, 30, still missing. Still no sign of that missing Malaysian Airlines jet. Debris recovered from the southern Indian Ocean turned out to be fishing equipment or random garbage. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez urging protesters to remain calm a day after demonstrators clashed with Albuquerque police during a march triggered by the fatal shooting of an unarmed homeless man. That incident caught on videotape, the FBI investigating. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Your side has been desperately wrong.
He continues not to tell the truth.
He's got
to
be a bigot.
The whole thing is a mess.
Let me make this point.
Nobody can justify this.
If I ask a question, I want an answer.
Another crazy school district.
Reaction from both sides.
What's the beef from the left?
Do you not see the danger?
That's not a fact.
No,
that's
no,
what a pinhead says.
No BS, no fluff. Straight up fact.
Straight talking. Spin stopping. Calling out the pinhead and calling it like it is.
Please watch the O'Reilly Factor weeknights on the Fox News Channel.
Weekdays on Fox Business.
Bottom line here is we want investors to be prepared for the day ahead, the week ahead.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo.
The concept is to bring perspective, analysis. All day long, I'm speaking with global allocators of capital, CEOs, heads of state, so I can anticipate some of the major moves or reactions, giving investors an edge.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo. Weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox Business.
After Secretary of State John Kerry's discussions with his Russian counterpart Sunday on Ukraine, Russia's prime minister today made a visit to Crimea, and Russia's military pulled a battalion back from the eastern Ukrainian border. Ukrainian officials call that one step forward, two steps back. Ukrainian troops, meantime, holding military exercises, preparing to defend their country.
Ukrainian Foreign Ministry spokesman said today, and I'm quoting here, we have information that Russia is carrying out incomprehensible maneuvers on the border with Ukraine. Troops are in some places moving backwards. Some of them are moving forwards. So keep in mind that a battalion is only about 500 troops. That's a tiny fraction of the 42,000 Russian troops poised on the Ukrainian border.
Fox's Doug McElway. The U.S. says North Korea risks further isolation after firing rockets into South Korean waters during military exercises. GM's new CEO, Mary Barra, testifies on Capitol Hill tomorrow about why the auto company took so long to recall so many vehicles, an ignition switch defect blamed for at least a dozen deaths.
Some of these problems go back over a decade. In fact, GM engineers developed a fix in 2004, but canceled the repair in 2005, citing the cost. In testimony prepared for the committee, Barra will tell lawmakers that GM, quote, will not shirk from our responsibilities now and in the future. And she apologizes, saying, I am deeply sorry to those families and friends who lost loved ones as a result of the ignitions. Barra says fixing the cars is only the first step. She says customer support of GM will be the true measure of how people judge the firm. At the Capitol, Chad Pergram, Fox News Radio.
GM today announcing a new recall. 1.3 million Chevys, Saturns, and Pontiacs have a problem with the electronic power steering. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Listening to the new voice of conservative talk radio, unafraid and aggressive, he will take on anyone, including Republicans. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready and visit him on the web at aaronmccready.com.
Welcome back to the program. I am Aaron McCready. If you are just joining us, you missed my rant, I guess, about Obamacare, and today is the last day of enrollment. You better be in there by 11:59, or you're going to be penalized by the government for not purchasing something that the government is forcing you to purchase. But we'll talk about that later, as promised. Joining me now on the show is former Georgia Secretary of State and current Republican candidate for United States Senate, from the great state of Georgia, Karen Handel. Karen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate you. And last week, I went on the program and endorsed you. And then also, I believe this past Friday, you had a huge endorsement as well. Sarah Palin came out in her support of you. And that you just must be, and your campaign must be ecstatic with that.
Well, first of all, let me thank you for your support. I appreciate it a great deal. And, you know, certainly getting earning the endorsement of Sarah Palin is an additional boost for the campaign. And, you know, the key is to make sure that you have a steady stream of momentum from here on into May 20, that primary date. And that's just your endorsement and Sarah Palin's. And as we go forward, we'll be up on radio tomorrow, and we'll just keep moving that ball, and as we get closer to May 20, I feel really good about earning the spot in the runoff.
Well, you know, you are, and I'll get to some questions here in a second, but in my opinion, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you're one of the only, if the only, true conservative candidate in this race. For instance, you spoke out against the Obama administration when they challenged you when you were Secretary of State on the voter ID law. And to me, that's a no-brainer. Why would we not want to make sure that law-abiding citizens are the ones that are voting? And, I mean, it just makes perfect sense to me. And you stood up against that. And over time, you with really with your convictions and beliefs, and some of the time with great you know, great shots at you personally. And, you know, when you look at the other people's record, I mean, you are the conservative candidate.
Well, I appreciate that. I am a proud conservative. And I think in this race, in addition to being a conservative, what we also need is an effective conservative, a person who actually has a track record of putting conservative principles into practice. And I've done that as Fulton County Commission Chairman against great odds. Without a Republican majority, I was able to fend off proposals from the Democrats to raise property taxes so that we did not raise taxes. You mentioned as Secretary of State, in addition to standing up and implementing photo ID and taking on the Obama Justice Department to verify citizenship for new registered voters, I did all of those things while also cutting the budget by 20%. And we've had enough of go-along-to-get-along Republicans. We need someone who has the kind of guts and resolve that I have, the real determination to actually be effective and deliver real results to the problems and challenges that we're facing in this country.
What is your response to, you know, you've been taking shots from Phil Gingrey, Paul Brown. I mean, Phil Gingrey, if I could get it out here, he complained about his salary, $172,000, isn't enough, really, for him, evidently, when the average Georgian is making $49,000, his salary in the House of Representatives. And then we've got someone like Paul Brown, is running against you in this primary. He missed over 70% of his committee meetings. And then he also is the one, and a lot of listeners will remember this, that back, and this was a big story in Georgia, he had a question, when is Obama going to be shot? And he kind of just ignored that question back in 2011. And, you know, I know we're all Republicans, but, I mean, if you're going to talk about that, about a sitting president, I mean, nobody wants to hear that. And then going back to Phil Gingrich, you know, he said, too, that a woman's body, he agreed with Todd Akin, that a woman's body can avoid pregnancy in instances of rape. I mean, these are the people that the voters have their choice of, Karen.
I think it's one reason. Well, I think it's there's a reason that Cook Political Report, National Standard Weekly, or National Review Weekly Standard, and now Sarah Palin, and also Nate Silver have concluded that I'm the strongest candidate to face Michelle Nunn. They know the headlines that my opponents have already generated, whether you're talking about the two that you've just mentioned or the others in the race. I mean, you have the, you know, poor kid should sweep the floor. You have, you know, for one of the other candidates, he thinks that we just need to have a few changes to the banking and finance law, Dodd-Frank, which, you know, unleashes a bureaucratic agency with virtually no checks and balances. They have free reign almost totally, thinks that bailouts are okay. We need a conservative who has shown effectiveness in being guided by her principles and being able to get the job done. The congressmen in this race have had 10 to 20 years to do everything that they're talking about now. But let's be candid. We did not get into the mess we're in today, a $17 trillion debt, a tax code that hasn't been reformed in almost 30 years, giving us the highest corporate tax rate of any industrialized nation in the world, a regulatory climate that is so onerous and so punitive that companies are not creating jobs in a robust way. We didn't get into this overnight. And, you know, we need to have a person who not only has business experience, but also some political skills, because after all, being a U.S. senator, you're one of 100, not the CEO of the other 99. And having the skill set like I have to be able to persuade people who may not be like-minded is a key skill set to have in the United States Senate, so that we can do things like have the guts to cut spending, move forward with rewriting our tax code, rolling back the onerous regulatory climate, and fixing the fiscal house so that we can really jumpstart this economy.
What is your relationship with Johnny Isaacson? Because if you do win this race, you know, you'll be working side-by-side with Johnny Isaacson representing Georgia. What's your relationship with him, and how can you team up?
Well, I've known Senator Isaacson for, long before he was in the Senate, probably 20 years now, and I have great respect for him. And the one thing that we both have is, I think, mutual respect, and that's how you build a relationship and how you work together. So we've known each other for a long time. We may not agree on everything, but we'll have a very solid working relationship, along with the relationships that I have on the House side with Congressman Tom Price, with Congressman Austin Scott, Congressman Westmoreland, so that Congressman Tom Graves, all of those things, so that we start to have a much better transition and working relationship, if you will, between the House and the Senate as we look at things, because that will be imperative when we get the majority in the U.S. Senate, that there can be a good working relationship there.
Today on Twitter, you posted a four-step plan for economic opportunity and prosperity, and our listeners can go to karensplan.com to see that. But the first thing that you see on there is repeal Obamacare, and I'm a big proponent of that, but I also believe that we need to replace it with something else. Is there a plan that you have in mind that once the Obamacare gets repealed that you could replace that with?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've really, even though in the plan I call it Obamacare, when I'm making speeches, I try not to call it Obamacare So that sounds warm and fuzzy. And we kind of did that with safety net programs. They went from safety net programs to then being entitlement programs.
Mm-hmm.
This Obama health care law, it is an $800 billion tax, which is going to cripple this country financially. We need to repeal it in its entirety. But to your point, we need to replace it with a common-sense, patient-centered, market-driven health care reforms like those offered in Congressman Tom Price's bill, H.R. 2300, many components of which I think look as though they will be part of a Republican consensus approach on this. And, you know, as we look to do this, getting the majority in the House and the Senate, then when we have a replacement bill that does common sense things like portability of plans, high-risk pools for those with pre-existing conditions, looking at more tort reform to deal with one of the major causes of rising health care costs, which is defensive medicine, those things, when we have a solid replace for that, it puts us on a much stronger ground and better strategic footing to repeal this bill. And we have a window of opportunity, largely because of the Obama White House having delayed so many of the key components. It gives us a window of opportunity to repeal this.
Also, you talk about ease burdensome regulations as well. Give us some examples of what you mean when some of the regulations that you would ease up on us.
Sure. The companies spend about $1.8 trillion a year in regulatory compliance. Think about that, $1.8 trillion a year. That's a number you can hardly get your head around. And right here in Georgia, we see our payment processing industry. Georgia is home to the largest concentration of payment processing companies of any state in the country. And that industry employs about 40,000 people in our state. That segment alone is regulated by 19 different federal agencies. So just look at the massive duplication and excess there. Then you look at Dodd-Frank and the banking and finance regulations that came through under that regulation. It needs to be repealed in its entirety as well. It set up a separate agency that is virtually autonomous with free rein rulemaking, and Congress has got to stop abdicating the rulemaking for these large and onerous types of regulatory authorities out to the agencies and really draw that back into the purview of Congress. We've seen the onerous and really the punitive effect of the banking regulations that have come through thanks to Dodd-Frank.
Right.
And it's a perplexing to me why David Perdue doesn't want to repeal Dodd-Frank.
Well, you're very accurate on that. And he also, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was CEO of a company that didn't it go bankrupt, and thousands of people lost their jobs when he was CEO.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And, yeah. You know, I think another difference, again, it's just there's a difference between bringing just CEO experience. You don't get to direct and dictate in a political environment. And that's why the skill sets that I've built over serving as Secretary of State and as Fulton County Commission Chairman, those political skills complement my very strong business background as well. Because I don't think in Washington, I don't think that these folks don't know how to balance a budget. I think they just simply don't have the political will to do it.
Right. Well, and they're
busy worrying about how to get reelected.
Well, and their feet's not being held to the fire either. You know, there's nobody holding them accountable, so they just think they have free reins of everything. It's upsetting.
Well, because Washington's become a way of life. I mean, when people go there to spend the rest of their lives up there, all mm-hmm. of a sudden it really becomes a club, a culture, a way of life, and not a job. And I view this as a job. And, you know, I have pledged to serve 2 terms because I think that we've got to start looking at term limits, whether we do it statutorily, constitutionally, or by self-imposing it, so that we really send people like myself who want to do the job and will do it with a sense of urgency and make decisions based on good policy and solving problems for America, not what's good politics.
Well, you mentioned the 2-term limit that you'd impose upon yourself, and I'll tell you what, that worries me just a little bit. And the reason being, you know, if we had term limits right now, which I am for. I wish we had term limits, but you know, if this is my concern, that if you took that pledge and which you have of serving only two terms, I am afraid that when you go to the Senate, that they'll almost see you as a lame duck because you're only going to be there two terms. So let's not worry about carrying a handle. That's what I'm concerned about, that the other senators will think.
Well, I disagree. I think, first of all, as a woman and a conservative from the South, I'm going to have opportunities that other junior senators are not going to have because, let's face it, the GOP could use a me, and that's a fact. And I think, you know, you make your opportunities, and I'm going to be focused on making sure that, one, we protect our military footprint in Georgia, that we do what we need to do for our agribusiness community, and number three, we get this fiscal house in order so that we have the ability to adequately fund our military, so that we do things on from the growth side to get this economy going again. You know, the Democrats, they talk about we should raise the minimum wage to $10.10. Well, you want to talk about a job killer. That would really do it. And who wants to build an economy on minimum wage jobs? We need to have good quality jobs that pay people a decent salary so that they're not choosing, you know, so they can put a good roof over their head. And if the car breaks down, they don't have to choose between fixing the car and having a roof over their head.
Right. You know, you mentioned.
So I'm going to go there to make my own opportunities, and you know, I'll be effective in that. I'm going to be looking for solutions. And anyone who knows me knows that I am about the most determined individual that they've ever met.
You know, and speaking about determination, when you were growing up, and could you have ever imagined, and you've been through a lot of struggles too, that you'd be in the position that you are right now, running for United States Senate and being able to make a difference in people's lives? Did that ever
Never.
Even
oh,
fathom
absolutely
that?
Absolutely not. You know, I left home when I was 17 to move out of an abusive environment, and I finished up high school and I went to work. I worked really hard, but no, I never could have imagined this. But what I know, Aaron, is that, you know, a really extraordinary country and a great God afforded a young girl just terrific opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I try to remind people that the circumstances under which you grow up do not have to determine your future. And what this race is about is making sure that every single American has the opportunity to pursue the American dream, however that individual defines that. And for Republicans and conservatives, for us to remember that for most people, you know, I didn't set out to be a candidate or be in elected office. I just wanted to make enough to have a good roof over my head and be able to have a family. And I think that's the American dream for most people.
Right. One last question I have, and I had a show last week, and it was a very emotional show, and you may be familiar with this, but it was in Georgia, House Bill 885. That was the people call it the medical marijuana bill, but that's really a misnomer. It's really to legalize the cannabis oil for especially for children treatment of seizures, and it went through both houses. And passed, and then got held up when another bill was attached to it. But one thing that came up in the conversation, and I've got Delva Sutton on tomorrow and then Bob Barr on Wednesday, but I promised them that I would ask you and the other two the same question. There is an effort going on in Washington to try to make this federally legal rather than – there's a parent that has to go to Colorado for the treatment of their daughter, and so they can, you know, end these seizures. And they've had great success in Colorado, but Georgia did not pass this, so it would be illegal for them to come to Georgia. Is that something
that
you think about supporting?
Actually, I think that what I read today, Governor Deal is looking at some sort of workaround to be able to address the issue. So I think it will, if he's successful there, it'll be a moot point. I really am in favor of states' rights. I think these are things that should be driven at the state level, and as much as we possibly can, to have these type of decisions down into the state. Unfortunately for Georgia, it looks as though there was support to do this. It did. The bill did pass from both houses, and now with the piece today that came out with Governor Deal, is going to take a look at it. So hopefully for those families, this will be a good will be a solution for them and for those young children.
Well, I appreciate that. And where can the listeners go to find out more about Karen Handel?
Well, they can check me out at KarenHandel.com on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter, and you can also check out my plan for jumpstarting our economy and moving us back to a path of prosperity at KarenPlan.com.
Karen Handel, thank you so much for coming on. If there's anything I can ever do for you, because like I said, I did endorse you, if there's anything I can ever do, please let me know. I will be out there on the campaign trail with you, and good luck to you, and I look forward to saying Senator Karen Handel one day.
Thank you so much for your support and friendship, Aaron. I look forward to coming back on when I'm U.S. Senator.
Sounds great. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is former Georgia Secretary of State Karen Handel and Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, Karen Handel. We'll be right back right after this.
Shining hope, bringing the nation back, one voter at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. If you're just joining us, you missed Senate candidate Karen Handel and former Georgia Secretary of State. My thanks to her for coming on. The only thing that I would have wished that she would have talked about a little bit more was House Bill 885. And she believes in states' rights, but this is something I believe on the federal level we need to make sure that is not against the law for somebody to travel from state to state to bring medicine over, like is going on in Colorado, that the person can get at least treatment in Colorado and bring this medication back to the state of Georgia so they can be with their family. I wish she would have talked about that a little bit more. But, you know, she is the person I endorsed. I think she's the best candidate for Senate. Sarah Palin also endorsed her. And, you know, if we want to make a change in Washington, D.C., and we want to keep this Senate seat red, if we want to keep a Republican in that seat, then we need to make sure that we vote for Karen Handel. There are rumors that Paul Brown, that some of the Democrats on primary day are going to go vote for Paul Brown, so he is the Republican nominee, because we all know that Michelle Nunn can beat Paul Brown. Paul Brown's put his foot in his mouth too many times, and so has Phil Gingrey, and either one of them will lose to Michelle Nunn. First of all, you'll have two women running against one another, and that levels the playing field just right there. But then when you look at the ideas that Karen Handel has and the ideas that Michelle Nunn has, it's a no-brainer. It is a no-brainer. And that is the person we need to support, Karen Handel. And I thank her for coming on. Also, just a reminder, make sure you get that Obamacare in. You don't want to be penalized from the regime. Make sure you go sign up for Obamacare. You have to pay $95. And then we do need to repeal that and replace it as well, just like Karen Handel said. Just a quick program note. Tomorrow we got Delvis Dutton on. Delvis Dutton is a United States congressional candidate from South Georgia. He'll be joining us tomorrow talking about some of his issues and what he believes. And he's actually in a debate right now with the other Republican candidates for United States Congress. Then also on Wednesday, we've got Bob Barr coming on. We all have heard of Bob Barr. He was in the United States Congress, and then also he was one of the people that brought impeachment charges against sitting President Bill Clinton. His district got realigned, kind of tossed him out of office, and he is running for office again for the House of Representatives. So Bob Barr will be on Wednesday, so look forward to that. Again, I'd like to thank Karen Handel for her friendship and support for coming on the show. And make sure you visit her on KarenHandel.com. And we will see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with congressional candidate Delvis Dutton.